Lord, increase our faith. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If the messages on Twitter over the past few days are anything to go by, then preachers up and down the land have been angsting over today's gospel reading. For instance, this tweet: preaching on faith on Sunday, going to be tricky. It makes me ask the question, why should preaching, thinking, praying about our faith be tricky? In a way, this morning's gospel reading holds it in less than 140 characters too, as the disciples say, Lord, increase our faith. Surely faith is at the heart of things. Surely each one of us knows everything there is to know about faith. Haven't we got plenty of it? We're of the Christian faith. Baptism service tells us faith is the gift of God to his people. St. Paul reminds us, along with hope and love, just how important faith is. And yet, we know it's not as straightforward as that. When Jesus tells us quite plainly that even if we had the tiniest amount of faith, we could address a mulberry tree, tell it to be uprooted and plant itself in the sea, and it would do it. Discourse and conversation around faith is pretty problematic. And it seems to be because we think faith is something that we are in control of, rather than faith being something that shapes our lives. Perhaps it's following the Enlightenment, where we're conditioned to believe that I think, therefore I am, that we start to think that faith is something in our heads and something we can control. Perhaps post-Enlightenment, we get tangled up into thinking that faith is just a religious sort of way of thinking the right things, or a religious sort of way about thinking about things, or a religious sort of way of trying to make things happen if we just think about it hard enough. But faith is not an act of our will. It's not a special way of thinking about things. I can't make more faith for myself if I think hard enough about it. Faith is a gift from God. Therefore, God is the agent who pours out faith. I, you, are the recipient. My tiny bit of faith, even smaller, no doubt, than a mustard seed, doesn't add anything to God's glory. But God's glory can open up my faith and turn me out from myself. But when we think about faith, we might think about some of the issues we deal with in our own lives, or that we know in the lives of others. For how many sincere, devout, faithful Christian people are racked with guilt and anxiety about not having enough faith? It may be not having enough faith that God will deliver them through a period of trial and turmoil. It may be worries over not having enough faith that deep-seated conflict will ever be resolved. It may be worrying that I don't have enough faith really to trust and believe the words of the Bible or of the creeds. And in a way, this morning's gospel seems to reinforce our guilty feelings. And we end up asking, is it my fault? Am I culpable for my lack of faith? And we start to beat ourselves up when we hear phrases such as, O ye of little faith, or where is your faith? But faith is a gift of God to us, not a weapon used by God to beat us up. This means that faith cannot be about us and our act of will. As I've already said, but important to restate, my faith doesn't increase the more I think about it, the more I want it, or even the more I believe it. You just can't get faith by screwing up your eyes, tensing your body and wanting it more and more. Faith is a gift. We can't manufacture our faith. We can't fake our faith. And faith is a gift of God that is open to be received by anyone and by everyone. So faith isn't just about the head, it's about the heart, and it's about the hands and the way we live our lives, open to God and to our neighbour. Faithfulness becomes our way of living in the spirit of openness to the gift of God. Jesus used that very arresting and perhaps slightly tongue-in-cheek or even a little bit sarcastic image of the mulberry tree just to get us thinking about faith and our response to God. So the challenge of this morning's gospel is not to think really, really hard about uprooting a tree without touching it, as if you were some sort of conjurer or mind bender. But the challenge is to understand, in the words of Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, with God all things are possible. And this is what the great narrative and story of the scriptures bear witness to in the great figures of faith. There's Abraham and Sarah, Moses and Miriam, Noah, Mary, the mother of Jesus, Paul, Eunice and Lois, who we heard about in our first reading. People of faith. There are countless others to list, and there are countless others that we've all met and know. These are people who have faith revealed in their lives, and in whom we see their choices and their actions rooted in their openness to God. The letter to the Hebrews famously sings the praise of such people and the way that they live. And that letter perhaps gives us a lens through which we might think about faith and about this morning's gospel reading. For the writer of the letter to the Hebrews, faith is less about me or about you, and more about God. Faith, then, is the loving, hope-filled response to God's action in creating and loving the world. It is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So faith is about God. So often when we say we want more faith, what we want is more reassurance. We want that feeling, that sense deep down, that God really is God, the God for whom all things are possible. If faith is only about me and how hard I want something, then it's really doomed to fail. If faith is an act of will on our part, then the God in which we believe is not the God of the Gospels, the God of Jesus Christ, or proclaimed by the Church. If faith depends on me, then it all seems one big setup. Abraham was faith-filled. Mary was faith-filled, not because they were more heroic than you or me, or had stronger willpower, but they were open, saying yes to God in all God's multifaceted, generous, and transforming ways. This openness to the gift of faith from God then is forged and shaped in prayer. Prayer is prompted by God. Faith is prompted by God. So Jesus' image of the uprooting of the mulberry tree is to root us back in God. And faith cashes out in action. The plea of Jesus to his disciples throughout the Gospels is, well, show me faith. Show me that profound obedience that comes from a deep and attentive listening to God. Show it to me. How am I going to see it? And that means that any vision or purpose that you or I have for our own lives must be rooted in that attentiveness to God's ways. Any vision that this cathedral might have for the next 7 years about the building, about what goes on inside it, about what happens outside it, must be rooted in that very attentiveness to God's ways, open to be directed, open to be challenged. That is real faith-filled living. And so this morning, we come in faith, open to God, ready to receive in faith the transforming, life-giving, abundant gift of God in Christ. Draw near with faith is the invitation to receive Holy Communion. Draw near not with your heads filled with lots of religious thoughts. Draw near with your hearts open, ready to receive. Ready to receive God's free gift of grace to you. As we draw near in the Eucharist, we draw near to God's possibilities that are even more remarkable than uprooting mulberry trees. And that is that God can open up our human hearts so that we can see the wonderful possibilities that God places in our hands. And he can root us back in him, our Maker and our Redeemer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.